run away. I am here. A technical difficulty. This morning, I went off to Kinko's, if you would, to make these copies. And John went with me, and he said, "Do you ever get scared when you speak?" You know, I go, "Well, you're always nervous, you know, because you're speaking in front of people and you're ministering the Word of God, and it's something that you need to take real seriously." And, you know, I related to him my second experience as a speaker at Martin Road. I was pretty confident in myself, and I shouldn't have been. And I got up there, and I could not remember anything. I remember stumbling through Psalm chapter 8, and I stepped down, and it was like, oh, this is horrible, you know. But we've recovered and have moved on a little bit since then, I hope. Robin knows me. Well, the parable of the talents. This is week 2. There we go. My beloved Wordle program here, free on the internet. If you ever need a word cloud, this can do it for you. You just need to figure out how to get it on PowerPoint. This week, two themes out of here that we want to talk about: rewards and faithfulness and perseverance. Faithfulness and perseverance, at least in my mind and in my life, really go together. So just a little review from last week. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord is presented as King. Remember last week we talked about the genealogy just a little bit, you know, that traced the Lord's lineage right back to King David. Very important for the Jews as they would sit back and review just who this man was, okay? That is, if they had a heart that was open to receive what the Holy Spirit wanted them to have. And we know from John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So that happened way too often, but as it were. But the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ as King was to come and give his life as a ransom for many, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. And the kingdom is grown as people believe on Jesus as Savior and Lord. Those to whom he gave his life as a ransom can only come to believe if somebody minister the Word of God to them, if someone be praying for them, if the Holy Spirit be working in their lives. And we know from 2 Peter that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, or all should come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And once they do, they're added to the kingdom. But as we said last week, the kingdom is, as the Lord Jesus said, internal. It's not external. You can't go to a city and say, there's the kingdom of God reigning there under this particular person or this particular group of people. No, it's internal. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus reigns in our lives, and people see that as we live out the Lord Jesus. Now, the kingdom will become external at the second coming, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds with 10,000s of the saints, as it says in the book of Jude. And he comes to reign in Jerusalem for that 1,000-year millennial reign. Okay, so it will become external at this point, and we will reign with him. We will reign. We will come back. We will be with him. It'll be a wonderful time, a joyful time. But going back to Matthew 25, a parable, as we said last week, it's a short allegorical story. It's a parable is a literary device that the Lord used to explain spiritual truth to people. As we said last week, if a person really wanted to understand truth, they would receive it through a parable. But if a person came to the Lord with a hard heart and their desire and interaction with him was to trip him up, then the truth would be hidden from them And so it is today. If you honestly seek Christ, you will find him. He's not hidden. You will find him. He has so many of his people here on this earth. The Word of God is everywhere. Even in places where they try to hide it, groups send in balloons and they drop the Word of God on them. You will find it. You will find God if you seek with him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The man in the parable in Matthew 25 is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the master who left on the long journey. The servants are believers of both the tribulation and the church age. An important distinction to make, but remember, we are all together as one church, as one body. The journey is the time from the Lord's ascension to the time of his second coming. A talent, as we read here, is a very large monetary denomination in Roman and Jewish, in the Roman Jewish world. Its value, as you see there, was a lot. And it was more than many people would make in a lifetime. Also, it was a weight measurement of gold, of silver, and that weight, of course, translated to a price. If you're a libertarian and want the gold standard, that's sort of what you might have in mind. Don't know. But other elements of the parable. The talent really represents the sum of a person's natural abilities and spiritual gifts. You really can't separate them, because when you come to Jesus Christ, he takes you and makes you new. 2 Corinthians 5, you're a new creation in Christ. The whole person belongs to Christ. So he uses your natural abilities and he uses your spiritual gifts to spread the kingdom, to offer the gospel to people one by one as we meet them. Okay. Or if the Lord has so given you the gift, like he did with Billy Graham or Luis Palau or so many other different evangelists, you may be able to preach to stadiums of people and offer the gospel and bring them in. But these first two servants represent obedient Christians. Okay. The third servant is at best disobedient and at worst not even a believer. And it depends how you want to take that. But certainly Christians can sin horribly. But God does not cast us off. He offers repentance to us. He offers restoration. So don't fear in that regard. Fear to sin, yes, like the Apostle Paul did, who didn't want to make shipwreck of his faith. But don't fear that God will never take you back. Okay, if you've fallen, his arms are outstretched to you today. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, though you try to leave him. Okay, and a note on servants. Okay, today when we think of servants and slaves, we think back to America during the Civil War and beyond, you know, people who were just used to work the ground and the soil. Even though those people who worked the ground and the soil had very great talents, okay, that were hidden because of the abuses of the people that ruled over them, okay. So, and history shows that to certainly be the case as well. But when we look at this situation in Matthew chapter 25 and in the Roman world, a servant or a slave was sort of like an indentured servant, a person who had a lot of abilities, but for one reason or another fell upon hard times. Okay, and they became indentured for a period of time, or it could be maybe for their whole lives and that. But they had great talents that could be used. You can even think of Joseph. Joseph was a slave in Genesis, was he not? He was a slave, but he ascended to a very high position because he proved himself faithful. He persevered during time of trial, and he serves as a great example to us today. Other elements of the parable, I'm just going to have faith that this is working, okay? Talents and natural abilities are used by the Lord to grow the kingdom by evangelism, as we said. And one thing to bear in mind, you are already in a place where the Lord can use you. The Lord can use you at home. If you're a father or you're a mother, you've got children. Those children are yours to disciple. You'll be responsible before God for them. Also, at work, you can be a testimony for the Lord at work. How many of us have had Bible studies in the past at work? How many of us have seen people come to the Lord Jesus at work? Times are changing. That's true. But you can still be a testimony for the Lord Jesus. You can still stand brightly and offer Christ. You can offer wisdom that you've learned from the Scripture that can help people as they struggle with their lives. At school, you know, our brother Ben Lowe, who's not here today, has a wonderful ministry with InterVarsity. And he'll be, if I understand correctly, he's going to be at Henry Ford Community College starting up a chapter. So, as you know from your own university college experience, you can serve the Lord in school as well. And God does great things through college students, through high school students, through junior high students, through elementary school students. Doesn't matter. And certainly, the Lord can use you here at Dunning Park, and He does. He uses you marvelously here in the ministry, and He wants to use us more. He wants to use us tomorrow as today, as in the past. Okay. Now, the different servants that we run across, the first two, to one was entrusted 5 talents, and to another was entrusted 2 talents, and to the third, 1 talent. And it was according to their abilities. We don't all have the same abilities. Some gifts are administrative. Some person's gifts are more mechanical. You could be a teacher. I mean, you know. There's so many different things that we can do in life. And the Lord blesses us accordingly with what He's given us. And then He gives us a spiritual gift as well. And you'll be surprised as you use your spiritual gifts. And as we said, there's many different ways to find out just what your spiritual gift is. But you'll find that God will use you in a way that perhaps you never thought possible, to do things that might be totally bizarre to you right now, so outside the box that it would just be unbelievable to contemplate, you know. So He can do these things. He's willing to do these things. Notice with the 2 servants, verse 16, the man who had received the 5 talents went out at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 more. And you'll read on the same testimony of the person with 2. They went and put their talents to work. And this is what the Lord calls us to do. Once we're discipled, or even as we're being discipled, we go on and we use what the Lord has given us. And we need to do it with passion. And we need to have perseverance, as we're going to talk about, that many trials and temptations will come upon us that will seek to hinder us from using our talents. But we need to be faithful to God, and we need to be faithful to God's Word. And we need to use those talents no matter what. And notice, once they were finished, they were pleased to report to their master. Master, he said, verse 20, for instance, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. When you serve the Lord with passion, when you persevere, when you're faithful in ministry, you'll find that you'll be very pleased to report to the Lord what you've done. And it's the same in the business world. When you've been given a task and you fulfill that task at the end of the year, whenever you go for your performance appraisal, you're very happy to talk about what you did because you know you've met the objectives. Now, we know the business world can be a little funky and all that, and they don't always recognize what you do, but you know in your heart what you've done. And ultimately, who is our work to? Yes, we're paid a wage by our employer, but that, according to Scripture, is going to rust. It's going to fade away. Ultimately, the work that you do for your employer now and your faithfulness You're going to answer to the Lord for it. So bear that in mind. And what did they receive? They received the goodwill of their master. Well done, good and faithful servant. And they were blessed with greater responsibility. And we're going to see that that's going to carry into eternity, if you would. Okay? Now, the third servant, what was his problem? We can read about that in verses 25 to 28, but in summary, why would a person who received this great gift not use it? Okay. Was he angry that only one talent was given him? How often do people look and say, look at your talent. How come I don't have that? How come I don't have that responsibility? And we sort of become Corinthians, as it were, spiritual Corinthians, okay? So was that the problem? Was he afraid, perhaps, of making a mistake? Certainly that happens. How many times are people hindered from serving the Lord or serving to their fullest potential because they're afraid to make a mistake? Okay? That's something, if we're faithful and passionate and we want to persevere for Christ, that we'll get over. Because you realize that people who work make mistakes. People who work sometimes fail. People who became really great presidents were fired as a captain in the Black Hawk War, lost a Senate seat over a fight with President Polk over the Mexican War, not a Senate seat, a House of Representatives seat over the Mexican War, lost a Senate seat to Stephen Douglas, but yet Abraham Lincoln became one of the greatest presidents of the United States, and we may not even have a country here today as we know it without Abraham Lincoln. So people fail, but people can also succeed because they learn from their failures and they move on. What else was it with this guy? Was his master too rich and the servant too jealous? Could be. We don't know. But we know one thing. His attitude resulted in great loss. He lost his talent. He lost his position. He was booted into outer darkness, as it says, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And, you know, it's not really our point to speculate necessarily on his eternal point, his eternal reward, because this is a parable. And you got to be careful with parables. You want to remember the main truths of the parables and apply them, okay? We don't necessarily take a lot of theology out of these things. Next, hindrances to using our talents. And we mentioned them, but remember Satan. He is our adversary. He's working to destroy us. And he has basic and advanced strategies. And don't fall prey to his temptations. Don't fall prey to phishing and scamming schemes that he has. Now, phishing and scamming, to some of you, you might wonder, what on earth is that? Well, if you open up your email and you're offered $50 million from some government official in Nigeria, and you click on the link and you fill in the routing number to your account and your bank account number, you are going to lose. You're going to lose everything you've got in that particular account. And these people are smart, okay? You'll lose everything that you've been given, okay? And there's scams. There's scams over the telephone. There's scams of people who come to your door. The point is, they seek to take your reward. They seek to take what's of value to you. And they don't care about you. You're just thrown to the side, and they go to the next one. And that's exactly what Satan is doing. Satan is opposing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ however he can. And one of his most successful methods is to take a servant and render that servant ineffective. And the more dirt that happens in that person's life for others to see, the better. Okay? So we've got to be aware of this, and we can't give in. And what are some of the basics? You see them up there. There's the fear of human response. There's feelings of inadequacy due to perceived ignorance. Or, one of the big ones, procrastination. putting it off till later. And then one day you wake up, you can't do at X age what you did at, you know, Y age, let's say, okay? You've changed. You become different, you know? So you got to be careful about this. And then there's advanced schemes, advanced scams that Satan does so that you can't use your talents effectively. Destroy marriages, ruin careers. You know, social media is a wonderful thing. But if it's misused, you know, if you get in a fight with your spouse and you feel, man, this just isn't working out, I need something, then just click on one of those singles advertisements on Facebook. Start forming a relationship with somebody. You'll destroy your marriage real quick. May not be today or tomorrow or the day after, but it'll come down. Because Satan, what he does is he lures you. He gives you a little bit of success. He gives you a little bit of joy. And then, bam, you're done for. The marriage is over. You're poor. Okay? Got to be aware. And this is in any area of life. At work, you know, there's many ways, and people can give testimony, of how people have destroyed their careers through doing stupid things. A little bit of humility would have saved many a career. Okay? So, bear these things in mind. Bear in mind that Satan is actively looking to stop the work of God, and the only way he can do it is to stop you, and to stop me, and to stop God's people. But we know that ain't going to happen. Okay? The Lord has promised, and he's going to do it. Okay? Now, for those who are faithful, who persevere to the end. The scripture speaks of crowns. You think, well, what kind of rewards are there at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Timothy 5:10? Well, we don't know all that God has in mind, but we do know the reward. We do know some things. There is, for King James, I couldn't find quite the term I wanted in the newer translations, but the incorruptible crown for those who control the flesh, as it were, 1 Corinthians 9:25. There's a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy, that those who receive, who live righteously while waiting for Christ. I mean, let's face facts. You can live many years, okay? And we can live many years in anticipation of the rapture of the church. And it's easy to sort of wonder what's going on. Has God forgot about me? You know, I've been taught it could happen at any moment, okay? And then, you know, some people get discouraged and some people can fall into sin and doubt, okay? So for those people who live righteously while waiting for Christ, there's the crown of righteousness. There's a crown of life for those who endure trials, and I think especially of the persecuted church. One of the great things about living in the 21st century with your smartphone are many of the different apps that you can get. And one app that I have is the Voice of Martyrs prayer calendar, which you can't see, of course. But for today, it's Nigeria. More than 450 Christians were massacred in the village of Dogo Nahawa. Okay? You can pray for that. You can pray for it right here. Okay? It's an awesome thing. Just go to the Voice of Martyrs or go to Google, whatever search engine you use. Type it in if you're an Android or iPhone, whatever, and you can get an app for that. And you can pray so that these people continue on in the Lord, that they endure their trials, and they will receive a crown of life. And the Lord will remember you. He will remember what you did, because we're a body, are we not? We're all working, where we should be, all working together toward the same end. One person, you know, Tom and Judy Coombs and other missionaries will tell you the importance of having a church body, the importance of having people pray for them and to give to them. The missionary work can't happen without the people being faithful to the Lord here. So we need to bear these things in mind. And time is flying. Also, there is the crown of joy. in Philippians chapter 4. And this has been called by some the soul winner's crown. Sort of Baptist, you know. But, you know, the Lord does recognize that. Okay. You look at the heart that the Apostle Paul had for the Philippian believers. He called them his crown of joy. Okay. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, there is a crown of glory for fulfilling your calling. Specifically, it's talking about overseers, talking about pastor elders of the church, but we shouldn't limit it in that way. I think anyone who is faithful to the work that God has given them will be recognized for it, certainly, certainly. Okay. So, obedient servants, again. The greater responsibility of the servants. Now, we're going beyond reward a little bit here, okay? The greater responsibility of the servants would seem to indicate that we will be working in the millennium and in the new heavens and the new earth, okay? Now, the whole subject of heaven is something that's sort of amorphous for us because there's not really a lot about it in Scripture. That's how people come up with the ideas of the clouds and the harps and all these different things. And, you know, certainly we believe there's going to be a lot of singing in heaven, but we know that not everybody is into singing. We should be. We should like to sing in that. But for some people, an eternity of singing might be a little bit difficult to contemplate, okay, even though the Holy Spirit has a way of working. And there's an author by the name of N.T. Wright. And I'm sort of careful sometimes with some of what N.T. Wright writes, but he wrote a book called Surprised by Hope, and it's about resurrection. It's about new heavens and new earth and this kind of thing. And I'd encourage you to maybe give it a read, okay? Also, there's an interesting sermon by Don Carson, whom some of you may be aware of. I understand he even spoke here at one time on the parable of the talents. And both teach that it seems that in the millennium and in the new heavens and new earth in Revelation 21 and 22, we are going to be not passive. We're going to be active in ministry for Christ. Think about it. All of work is good according to Scripture. Sin is going to be gone. Death is going to be gone. Everything that hinders us is going to be gone. Think as well in Corinthians when Paul was chastising the people. What did he say to them? Don't you know you're going to be judging angels? So we need to consider that our God is so great. And there's a whole universe out there. And we don't know all that's in that universe. But the Lord may put us to work in some way in that. There's a whole eternity. And we have a God who is marvelous beyond our greatest understanding, our capacity to understand. So bear these things in mind. I'm sure in heaven, in the new heavens and new earth, there's going to be much work for us to do, along with worship, along with spending much time gazing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and bowing before his throne. So, in review, use your gifts and talents. Minister for Christ at home, your place of employment, at Dunning Park, everywhere. Next, don't fall prey to the lies of the devil, this world, or even yourself. For those who obey and endure to the end, your reward will be great. Don't give up. We gave the quote from Winston Churchill. Never, never, ever, ever, like Holly is saying, never, ever, ever give up. Okay, because the Lord gives his grace to you. There's a great story of Corrie Ten Boom when her father was putting her on a train. Maybe you remember it. She wanted the ticket beforehand. But her father said, no, I'm not going to give you the ticket until you need it, until you get on the train. And that's the way it is with God's grace. As you continue to endure, in 1 Corinthians 10, he makes a way of escape. Okay, he sort of propels you through it. Okay, he doesn't take you out of it. He puts you through it. He gives you the strength to endure. Okay, remember, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. That we have a great future. It's hard right now, harder for some than others, certainly, and if we step outside of the United States into the 1040 window, and that it's really hard. It's really difficult. They are living through, we would consider, great tribulation right now. Yet it's nothing like what's going to happen during the great tribulation. But the Lord is doing great things. He's doing great things through you. Continue to live for Christ. Continue to persevere for him, and you will have great reward. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we certainly rejoice in our Lord Jesus this morning, this afternoon. And we just pray, oh God, that we would be faithful to him, that we would persevere, that we would endure during good times, during bad times, remembering that you have called us for a purpose to serve you on this earth as your ambassadors, offering the gospel and doing many good works, oh Father, helping people physically, spiritually, whatever the case may be, Heavenly Father, at missions, at camps, so many different ways that we can serve you, Father. We just pray that our eyes would be open, and we pray that you'll work marvelously, Father. May we truly be surprised by the hope that awaits us, oh Father. Give us great passion for you this day and this week as we serve you. As in Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Meeting is